My beloved brothers and sisters, it is evident when we think of the disciples that they had observed their master in many, many ways, particularly in the matter that he left them quite frequently and sought a solitary place, separated himself from them. And also they realized the fact, as we have it in Luke chapter 17, that John had taught his disciples to pray. And they felt so inadequate that they asked the Master, teach us how to pray. Now when we think of these matters, brothers and sisters, surely we are in sympathy with the disciples. And we realize that we're here upon the earth. We're mortal creatures. And there is the great Creator dwelling in heaven, in light unapproachable by man. The great monarch of the universe. And here are we, 80 years and 10. Full of trials and troubles, of failures and successes. There we are. And prayer is the means whereby we can converse with the Eternal One. Well, we say the disciples felt so inadequate. Let's take one or two examples first of all, shall we? We want to look at Mark. Two passages in Mark will help us. The first of Mark in chapter 30, and let us get the background of the matter. There it tells us that Jesus had been healing the sick. When the even was come in verse 32, they brought all the diseased and so on. All the city was gathered together at the door. He healed many of them, verse 34. And it says in verse 35, and you imagine the master laboring now. There's this great crowd who are bringing their sick and their ill. And there he was, healing them. At the close of the day, he ministered unto them all the day, and now. And then it says in verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Notice that. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Think about it, brothers and sisters. There's another one in the 6th chapter of Mark. 6th chapter of Mark and verse 45. There is the occasion where the 5,000 had been fed, and he journeys in a ship onto the other side, as verse 45 tells us. And verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And you think of the circumstances, fed the 5,000, he'd spoken to them. He put up with them all the day long. And here now, as he goes in this little ship, he sends them away and he departs into a mountain to pray. Another one is found in the 6th chapter of Luke, for many of course. The 6th chapter of Luke and verse 12. And there it says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Again, you think of the busy day beforehand. Now the master, he's troubled in heart and mind. We know the circumstances, brothers and sisters. He has to choose 12 men. There are all his disciples, and out of them he's going to take 12. The decision has to be right. And there, as you see now, goes into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. There are the circumstances, brethren and sisters. And so you see there, brethren and sisters, that the master himself now felt it was so necessary to pray to his heavenly Father. What of ourselves? Well, prayer then is the means whereby the godly man or woman can express his thoughts, his weaknesses, his desires, his wants, and can praise, and can praise and magnify the Almighty Creator of all things, who heareth prayer. O thou that hearest prayer. We sing it, do we not? So here we are then upon the earth, brethren and sisters. Here we are, journeying to Zion, strangers and pilgrims, but each one burdened down with problems. And we cannot, oftentimes, tell even our brethren and sisters about them. We cannot, brethren and sisters. We try to battle with them. We feel so inadequate. We feel such failures in so many, many respects. Our hearts are saddened and burdened down. We know not what to do. We're trying to do that which is right. We're trying to please our Heavenly Father. We're trying to find a path through this weary, dreadful wilderness in which we find ourselves. We say how inadequate we feel. And it is only, brethren and sisters, when we realize that we can turn to the Father, for he is a Father who pitieth his children. What a wonderful matter then prayer is as we think about it. There are times, brethren and sisters, when the Master has advised us. He says, when you pray, enter into your closet and shut your doors about you. See, what we've got to do, each one, brethren and sisters, to open our hearts, to pour out our hearts. It might be that we have been filled with ecstasy in a meeting and the word has lifted us up and we wish to express our praise and our thankfulness to our Heavenly Father in prayer, in private, and we're bubbling over with joy. On the other hand, it might be the pressures of life and the circumstances of our life, both within the ecclesia, within the family, and without, causing us, brethren and sisters, to know not what to do. And it is then with our hearts full, with tears, brethren and sisters, yes, with tears, we pour out our hearts to our Heavenly Father. We feel stronger afterwards. It might not be that the answer will come in the way we hope. It might not be that any answer will come at all. It might not be for many years, who can say? It might be. But if it pleases the Father, then an answer will be given immediately. Who can say? But nevertheless, we have to lay our problem before our Heavenly Father. So the matter of prayer then, brethren and sisters, a very, very important one, as you will appreciate and you will agree. But where in the scriptures then are we to learn about prayer? We feel so inadequate. Well, we have the record there where Jesus taught the 12 to pray, certainly. But the Father has made provision for all our needs. And it is to the law we must go. We go back to the law, brethren and sisters, and there we learn the principles regarding prayer. Come back with me to the 30th chapter of Exodus, and there in this beautiful chapter, there we have, in the opening verses there, we have the making of an altar. It's not the altar in the court. No, it's not the brazen altar upon which the animals were sacrificed. No. It is placed within the holy place. And we are the holy place, brethren and sisters. We are the holy place. And there in the holy place now we find this altar, as it tells us there, to burn incense upon. A shitting wood shalt thou make it, and the dimensions are given there as you see. It's to be overlaid with gold. It has to have the the rings and the staves to carry it, to transport it. And it goes on in verse 6, and thou shalt put it before the veil, that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. Do you notice immediately, brethren and sisters, it's before the veil. And on the other side of the veil there is the ark of the testimony, the Shekinah glory shining forth from it. It's the closest proximity, brethren and sisters, as you see there, to the manifestation of the Father. Only the veil separates. And we think of ourselves now as we sang in that hymn, our great high priest, making intercession for us. The veil of his flesh has been rent, brethren and sisters. And there before the Ark of the Covenant now, the altar of incense. Wonderful. You see the close proximity then. And he goes on to tell us, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. Every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual incense before Yahweh throughout your generations. And so there, brethren and sisters, is laid before Israel now the matters of the morning prayers and the evening prayers. They are to ascend there, as you see, as a sweet incense from off the golden altar. And you notice there in passing, brethren and sisters, it is the time when they're to dress the lamps. Now the oil for the lamps, oh yes, the priests, you note the lesson, brethren and sisters, the priests had to take the olives and to beat them to extract the oil for the light. Otherwise there was no light. And so it is a connection then of the word with prayer. You see the point. Without labour and understanding, trying to understand the things of the word, then there can be no illumination. What of our prayers then? And you notice it goes on to tell us again, and ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt offering. No strange incense, no strange prayers, brethren and sisters. And so you realize that our prayers, yes, they must be true to the word, to that which the Father has taught us. Otherwise he will not hear. Now these matters are beautifully brought out for us in two psalms, many of the psalms, but particularly Psalm 141. Let's go to Psalm 141, and there you will see in the opening verses of that psalm now, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. You see how David's mind is working? David, we spoke of him this morning, communing one with another. David, or his family, his circumstances, brethren and sisters, if any man required strength from prayer, it was David. And here, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And you see the outworkings of the law, brethren and sisters. There we've established them in Exodus 30, and here now, the workings out, and here they are. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. And so it goes on there. The other one is in the next psalm, Psalm 142. And there, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplications. I poured out my complaints. He emptied himself, brethren and sisters, the matter that was troubling him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed with me, within me, then thou knewest my path, the way wherein I walked. And so it goes on. Beautiful, brethren and sisters. And you come on, surely, as we think about these matters, into the opening chapters of Luke, the first chapter of Luke, and there we have, it's the time of the evening sacrifice, is it not? And it's Zacharias. And Zacharias there, this faithful priest, his wife barren, was he praying that he might have a child? These were the matters uppermost in his mind. And so it says, verse 8, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of the incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And one thinks of this situation, brethren and sisters, how so many times when angels appear to men, fear. Fear. But you see, fear not, Zacharias. We think of a time, brethren and sisters, very shortly, not very far off, when each one of us now come face to face with the angel. We shall be startled and troubled. No doubt there will be those words, fear not, the Lord has come and calleth for thee. It's got to happen, brethren and sisters. It will happen. And so here Zacharias now, he's troubled at first, and there now, in this matter, he's told of the birth of John. And you notice, brethren and sisters, that Zacharias, although face to face with the angel, we might as well learn the lesson now. he says in verse 18, whereby shall I know this? Whereby shall I know? And there's a lesson here for us, brethren and sisters. You see, he wanted a sign now, and the angel answered, as you read on now, verse 20, behold, thou shalt be dumb, not be able to speak until the day that these things be performed, because thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You're struck dumb, as you know. But you see, brothers and sisters, you should have been satisfied. You should have been satisfied with the answer. You see, this is the flesh, brothers and sisters. And so we have to humble ourselves and accept that which the Father will provide for us in all our circumstances. And so one can go on, but we think of prayer then. Well, we have the record how we ought to pray. We know it full well, our Father which art in heaven. So it goes on in the order of priorities, the things of the Father first of all. But yes, what are the things, that the components that make up the sweet incense? Well, yes, let's go back to that 30th chapter. And there we are taught something about the contents of our prayers, brethren and sisters. Come back with me to the 30th chapter, and it's in the closing verses, verse 34. The Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte and onycha and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure incense, each there shall be a light weight, and thou shalt make a perfume, a confection, temper together, pure and holy, and thou shalt beat some of it very small. And well, we think of that, brethren and sisters. The incense now is telling us our prayers need not be long. Is that the meaning? Thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. As for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It's got to be, as we've already learned, brethren and sisters, in conformity with the holy mind and will of the Father. Otherwise he will not hear. And so we have them, these ingredients now for the making of the incense now. Sweet spices. It signifies something which is aromatic, something which is very sweet smelling. And prayer, brethren and sisters, as it ascends from off that golden altar, is a sweet odour to the Father. And again, as we think about it, brethren and sisters, it tells you that the light to burn that incense, the fire, was to be taken off the altar in the court there. That perpetual burning fire, that was that which was to ignite now the incense. And you see again, it must be in conformity with the will and purpose of the Father. And that altar spoke, as we shall remember, of the Christ. The animals were offered there upon that altar, but, as you know, that altar was the Christ. It was the Christ altar. And as you go into the Apocalypse, you learn there of our brethren of ages gone by who cried unto the Lord in the days of their persecution. Their blood was poured out beneath the altar. And there their voices ascend, do they not, from beneath the altar there in the court, the Christ altar. Beautiful as we learn these things. And so we think of the ingredients then. Stacte. What is it? Stacte. What does it mean? Well, it's the Hebrew word nataf, and it means a liquid drop. A liquid drop. And it's suggestive, is it not, brethren and sisters, as we've already indicated, of a tear. Of a tear when we unburden ourselves with our hearts and our minds, and immediately think of that beautiful expression that the apostle uses as you go to Hebrews. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. How beautiful this is, brethren and sisters, as we hang upon it. And there in the 7th verse, speaking of our Master now, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. For what of us, brethren and sisters? We are of the seed of Abraham. We are of the seed of Jesus, heirs according to the promise. What of us? Are we going to weaken then, brethren and sisters? Before the Master is the stake. There's always before his face, I have a baptism to be baptized with. Hear the apostle now, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, strong crying and tears. Stacte, brethren and sisters. Stacte. Is it not beautiful? Does it not touch our hearts as we learn these things? And so, brethren and sisters, we have to turn then to our Heavenly Father. You see, makes us realize the flesh cannot help us. Oftentimes it cannot sympathize. It can do nothing for us. It's a matter between ourselves, our Heavenly Father, and it is with many tears. And so it is in such circumstances then that we think of Jesus in the garden. We'll come to it later on. You know the circumstances in the garden of Gethsemane there. And so each one of us then in prayer, brethren and sisters, our characters are revealed, our minds and the state of our hearts to our Heavenly Father in this matter of prayer. But oftentimes they are the expressions of a broken heart. Our Master's heart was broken, the psalm tells us. my reproach. There it was. Broken heart. The medical evidence was, we learn, there flowed out blood and water as his side was pierced with a sword. The evidence of a broken heart. Well, we come on then, brethren and sisters, and we can look. Time's going on. Well, if you look at Micah in the second chapter, and if you look in Zechariah the 13th chapter, verse 3, you will find that this word stacte is translated prophecy. Prophecy. And there it's bringing home to us, brethren and sisters, that again our prayers must be offered with the true understanding of the word. Otherwise our prayers will not be heard. We move on. The onycha. Again, the onycha, brethren and sisters, was a form of seashell. Israel gathered them to make the incense. A seashell, it was found upon the shores of the Red Sea. And what had happened as they gathered those shells? What ran through their minds, or the minds of the faithful ones amongst them? The matters of deliverance. On those same shores now, Pharaoh and his hosts had been destroyed. They had been delivered. And so the onycha then, found on the shores of the Red Sea, it spoke to them of deliverance. And oh, we need deliverance, brothers and sisters. The realization that the Father can and will deliver us, even in the times of our extremity. It is his will. Always we must add, it is thy will. And if not, brothers and sisters, we have to bow before it. We realize, of course, he can deliver us in our darkest moments, when we're surrounded by evil on every hand. He can deliver us. What comfort and consolation is here. And the Galbanum, as we go on to that now, the Galbanum speaks to us of fact. Of fact, brethren and sisters. The fat was always offered in sacrifice. You go back to Leviticus chapter 3, not turn to it, but there it is, verse 16 and 17, it tells you how that the fat was offered there upon the altar, the fat. And it's speaking to us of what? Of energy, consumed in prayer. The sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, as again we read in Hebrews. All these are the matters of prayer, brothers and sisters. Well, we mentioned Gethsemane, let's come to it. There it is in the 22nd chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 22. Fitting that we should remember the sufferings of our Master. And there in verse 44. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Think of it, brethren and sister. You think of that which was before him now. He's going face to face with it. There the angel strengthened him. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. Oh, the pathos of the situation, brother and sister. How can we sleep? The light, salvation which is offered to us through the work of the Christ. Well, we move on. We note there, brethren and sisters, the concentration of his heart and his mind. He was seeking for strength and comfort. He was aware of the dreadful ordeal before him, which would tax him to the limit, physically, and mentally, and emotionally. He knew what was before him. It also tells us, brethren and sisters, we go back now, that the incense was to be offered with frankincense. It comes from a spice tree, brethren and sisters, which yield a white gum. And the bark of the tree is only to be scratched. That's all, not even cut. And the gum issues forth. Father then is ever ready to regard and to respond to the prayers of the faithful. You have the records there in Daniel. Remember when Daniel there, his extremities as he beheld those dreadful visions, there he prayed to his heavenly Father. The angel came. He told Daniel, he said, at the beginning of thy prayer the commandment came forth. At the beginning of thy prayer the commandment came forth, and I'm come to instruct you and to strengthen you. Frankincense means whiteness, symbol of purity. And therefore prayers, brethren and sisters, must be holy, totally unselfish, without any ostentation at all. We're laying bare our hearts and our minds, our very characters, before the one with whom we have to do. Now I just want us, while we're in Luke, to go back to the 13th chapter of Luke. 13th chapter of Luke. Here's the order of our priorities in the second verse. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done upon the earth. Those are the first three ingredients, as it were, of our prayers, brethren and sisters. They are the things concerning the Father and concerning his name. And then what follows? The matters then concerning our sins, forgiveness of our sins and our daily bread, and the matters of temptation. But you see there the order of priority, do you not? And then we want to come to, still in Luke I think it is, see if I can just find it for you. It's a matter of you remember the widow woman there that was appealing to the unjust judge. She came to him continually and asked him to take up her burden. I forget which chapter it's in now. Is it the 18th chapter of Luke? It may be. Yes, there it is, the 18th chapter of Luke. It's a matter of the unjust judge. And Jesus there in this parable, he takes it up. He says in verse 6, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find a faith in the earth? And there you see, brethren and sisters, the unjust judge, he did eventually take up the woman's cause. But what of the matter? What of our God now? As we cry unto him day and night, will he not hear? Of course he will, brethren and sisters, and that is what Jesus is telling us there now. And he goes on, still in this same chapter, to bring before you now the matters of the two men who went up to pray. There was the Pharisee. And he tells you, he stood and prayed thus with himself. He was praying to himself, brethren and sisters. Pharisee. I've done this and I've done that. The other man, yes, he smote his breast. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He felt so inadequate even to offer a prayer. And one thinks again, brethren and sisters, you remember as we think about these matters, as you go into the 8th chapter of the Apocalypse, and there we refer to our brethren of days gone by, and there they were suffering persecution, as it tells you in the 8th chapter. And it says in verse 3, another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that she should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar. If you have any doubts, brethren and sisters, of our interpretation, here it is it not? and the smoke of the incense, verse 4, which came with the prayers of the saints, times of their great tribulation, persecuted by their false brethren. There they were. What happened? They ascended up before the God of the angel's hand, and what? The angel took the censer, filled it with fire, cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings. Action was taken, brothers and sisters. And you know full well, as you go down into that chapter now, those four great powers which were there held in abeyance on the corners of the Roman Empire, they swept down one after another to bring the divine vengeance upon those times. Alaric and the Vandals and so on, and the Huns, there they came. There was the answer, brethren and sisters, to the faithful of that particular day. And so one can go on, brethren and sisters, developing this wonderful theme now. And you think of the prayers of Scripture. You think of Moses' prayer as a mediator for his people. Their great sin. He says, "Oh, if you will forgive them. If not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book." This was Moses' brother and sister. We think of our Master now. The work of the cross. We begin to realize how unworthy we are, what great things have been done for us. You think of Daniel again. That great man, brother and sister, who wanted to know these things. Was he denied them? Of course he was not. The angel came on two occasions there, came to help Daniel and to instruct him, to give him hope and comfort and consolation. And finally, brethren and sisters, let's go to Hebrews now, the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It's telling us, brothers and sisters, the circumstances even of our lives. Because, as you think about it, precious the death of his saints. In the eyes of our God, precious is the death of his saints. And here now our lives are known to him, all the circumstances of our lives. He goes on, seeing then, verse 14, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. What comfort and consolation we have here, brothers and sisters. The one who pleads our cause now, beyond the rent veil, he has passed this way before. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might find and obtain mercy and help, and find grace to help in time of need.
Yes. I think his name in a minute. Okay, think of the Phoebe. Not Phoebe. What's the other one? The name very much like it.